So, have you been digging into Ecclesiastes? It's one of those books that can really make you think, right? It can feel like you've just, I don't know, wrestled with some really deep ideas about life. You get a lot of wisdom, but at the same time, there are also a lot of those, wait, huh,
Oh,
moments.
yeah, for sure. It definitely makes you stop and think about those big questions we all have about life. Questions about meaning and purpose. It doesn't shy away from those things.
And that's exactly what we're going to do in this deep dive today. We're going to try to unpack some of the most important insights from Ecclesiastes and, well, hopefully untangle some of those confusing parts. Because let's face it, sometimes reading Ecclesiastes can feel a little like trying to solve a giant puzzle.
It's really interesting, though, how even though it was written thousands of years ago, it still speaks to us today. It's all about that search, trying to find something that truly lasts in a world where it seems like everything is always changing.
Yeah, it's that whole vanity, vanity, all is vanity thing. It's like a song you can't get out of your head. But what does it actually mean for us today? Like as we're trying to figure out how to live our lives.
Well, the word that often gets translated as vanity is the Hebrew word hevel, which actually has a much richer meaning. It literally means breath or vapor, something that appears for a moment and then vanishes.
Okay, so imagine this. You're at the top of a roller coaster. You get that feeling, the rush, and then whoosh. It's gone.
Ecclesiastes is saying that if we're not careful, a lot of life can feel just like that.
Right. And that's why the author, Kohili, he keeps coming back to this search for tov, the Hebrew word for good. He's looking for something that has real substance, something that really matters. He's tried everything, wisdom, wealth, pleasure, and it seems like he keeps running into this wall of hevel.
So is he basically saying we shouldn't even try to find lasting satisfaction? Is it all just pointless? Not exactly. Even though Kohel hasn't found what he calls yitron, which means ultimate lasting gain, he's still searching for tov. He's still trying to figure out what it means to live a good life, even though we live in a world full of hevel.
So there's still hope. I like that. Tell me more. What kind of clues does he give us about this?
Well, one of the ways Kohelet explores this is through those sayings about what is better than something else. For instance, you remember where he says that having a good name is better than having fine perfume, or that the day of death is better than the day of birth. People really struggle with those.
Yeah, those are definitely the head scratchers. Like, who wants to hear that dying is better than being born? How does that fit into all of this?
I think it's Kohelet's way of challenging us to think differently, to reconsider what's truly valuable. He's not saying we should be morbid. I think he's urging us to look beyond what's superficial, those things that eventually fade away.
Okay, so maybe it's like he's saying, don't get so caught up in chasing temporary things like pleasure or fame, because in the grand scheme of things, it's all just hevel.
Exactly. He's encouraging a certain kind of wisdom, a wisdom that recognizes that so much of what we experience is temporary. And that actually brings us to the whole topic of wisdom in Ecclesiastes and Qohelet's complicated relationship with it.
Yeah, because sometimes he praises wisdom and other times he points out its limits. It's like he's saying, wisdom is great, but it's not a magic solution for everything.
This is really fascinating passage where he actually says that wisdom is both beyond me and most profound, even though he's considered the wisest man. It's like even he is acknowledging that true wisdom, you never fully grasp it. It's something you keep pursuing throughout your entire life.
So even the wisest guy in the room is still learning and growing. You know, that's kind of encouraging, right? It means that there's always room for us to grow and learn too. But how does all of that help us deal with the hevel, all that meaninglessness that we face in our everyday lives?
I think that's where those enjoy life parts of Ecclesiastes come in. It's like those are little reminders sprinkled throughout the book to stop and appreciate the good things, even though we know they won't last forever.
So we're not supposed to just sit around and mope about how meaningless everything is. We can still, like, actually enjoy our lives.
Exactly. But it's not just about, going out and having a good time. There's a deeper wisdom at play here.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. Tell me more about these enjoy life parts. How do they fit into all of this? How are we supposed to understand them?
Well, the thing that I find so interesting is how these refrains actually change as you read through the book. At first, they're just sort of observations, but then they start to sound more like commendations. And finally, in the last few chapters, it's almost like they're commands.
So he's getting more insistent, like he's trying to get our attention and say, hey, don't miss this. Don't miss out on the good stuff.
Yes. And this actually relates to an idea called probabilistic wisdom. Think about it. When you make big decisions in life, you never really know for sure how they're going to turn out. Ecclesiastes seems to be saying that we should find a way to enjoy the journey, to appreciate the present moment, while still keeping in mind our ultimate purpose.
So it's like, enjoy the ride, but also remember that you're headed somewhere. I like that. But how does that work when it feels like so much of life is just completely out of our control?
Well, that's where the idea of fearing God comes in. It's a theme that pops up again and again throughout Ecclesiastes. It's all about living with an awareness that our choices actually matter and that there's a bigger picture that we're a part of. And this actually leads us to one of the most powerful images in Ecclesiastes, that really vivid description of what it's like to grow old in chapter 12. Remember all that imagery, the trembling hands, the stooping back, the dimming eyesight.
Yeah, it's like he's showing us a slow motion film of our bodies slowly wearing down. Not the most cheerful thing to think about, but is he like trying to scare us into fearing God?
I don't think so. To me, it feels more like a powerful reminder. It reminds us that our time on earth is limited. We can't avoid getting older and eventually dying, no matter how much we try to ignore it.
So more of a wake-up call, a reminder to make the most of the time we have.
Exactly. And it all leads up to that really powerful verse. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken. You know, the imagery he uses is so striking. The silver cord snapping, the golden bowl shattering.
It's really intense. It definitely makes you stop and think. But then right after this part, it's almost like he throws a curveball. He practically shouts, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. What's up with that?
It almost sounds like he's just letting out this huge sigh of frustration.
Right.
After all that searching and all those observations, he ends that main part of the book by bringing us back to Hevel, to meaninglessness.
Okay, but after all of this, are you telling me that Ecclesiastes is just like a big downer? Is that it?
Wait, not so fast. Remember, there's also that epilogue. It's like this little addendum after all of Kohut's reflections. And it actually gives us a completely different perspective.
Oh, right. The epilogue, it almost feels like it's a different voice chiming in. Why is that part important?
Well, the epilogue actually affirms the importance of everything Kohut has said. It says that he was wise, that he imparted knowledge to the people, and that everything he wrote was upright and true.
So even though Kohut ends on this really bleak note, the epilogue is saying, hold on, don't just throw all this out. There's real wisdom here.
Right. It's like the epilogue is saying, yes, life in a broken world can sometimes feel meaningless. But that doesn't mean that we should just give up on seeking wisdom or on living a life that honors God.
So we're not supposed to just throw up our hands and say, well, it's all pointless anyway. Why bother?
Not at all. And that actually takes us to the very last verses of the book, the ones that say, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil.
I think this is where it all starts to come together for me. It's like Kohut has taken us on this really long and winding journey through all the ups and downs of life. And now he's finally bringing us to what really matters.
Exactly. It's like he's saying, look, in a world full of Hevel, in a world where it seems like nothing lasts, there's one thing that always remains true. We are accountable to our Creator.
So that's where we find meaning. It's not about chasing happiness or success in this life, but about living in a way that acknowledges our responsibility to God.
Yes. And that realization, I think, can be both challenging and really liberating. It's like suddenly everything we do has more weight, even the small things. But at the same time, it gives our lives a sense of purpose, a sense of direction.
So what would you say to someone who asks, okay, I get it, Ecclesiastes is really deep and all, but how does this actually apply to my life, to my everyday life?
Well, I definitely remind them about that concept of probabilistic wisdom that we talked about earlier. Life is unpredictable. We can make all kinds of plans, but in the end, we never really know what's going to happen.
Right, so don't get so caught up in trying to control every little thing. Just embrace the mystery.
Exactly. But it's not about just being passive or reckless. Ecclesiastes actually encourages us to be wise, to think carefully about our choices, and to learn from both our successes and our failures.
And to enjoy the journey along the way, right? Don't forget those enjoy life reminders. Work hard, but also make time for things you enjoy. Oh. And always remember to appreciate the gift of life.
I like that. That's a great way to put it. You know, Kohut also reminds us that wisdom isn't just about book smarts. It's also about practical skills, using your talents, and understanding how things work in the world.
He gives all those great little pieces of advice, things like, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Or, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Those are like ancient life hacks.
I love those. It's like he's saying, hey, life isn't always going to be easy, but there are definitely ways to navigate it with wisdom.
So, just to sum up, we should embrace the present, fear God, seek wisdom, and remember that our actions have consequences. But, you know, there's one thing that I'm still kind of struggling with. How do we reconcile this idea of enjoying life, you know, with all the suffering and injustice that we see in the world? Does Ecclesiastes address that at all? So we're trying to enjoy life, but also keep in mind that we need to fear God. I know it sounds kind of tricky, like walking a tightrope or something. Can you help me understand how those two things work together?
Okay, sure. How about this? Imagine you're given this really beautiful tapestry, really intricate, and you're supposed to take care of it. You wouldn't just like throw it around or be careless with it, would you?
No, of course not.
You'd want to handle it carefully and respectfully because you'd know it was valuable and also kind of fragile.
Okay, yeah, I think I see what you mean. You're saying that fearing God is kind of like that. It's about treating life with the same respect and care that you'd give to something precious.
Exactly. It's recognizing that our choices matter and that they're part of something much bigger than ourselves. And that actually takes us to one of the most powerful parts of Ecclesiastes. You know, that really vivid picture of what it's like to grow old in chapter 12? You remember? The trembly hands, the stooping back, the eyesight getting dimmer.
Yeah, it's like he's hitting the slow motion button on a film of our bodies just slowly wearing down. It's not exactly, you know, a happy thought, but is he trying to like scare us with all of this? Is that why he wants us to fear God?
I don't think so, no. It seems more to me like a really strong reminder. It's a reminder that our time here is precious, and it's also limited. No matter how much we might try to deny it, we can't escape aging and eventually dying.
So more like a wake-up call then,
Right.
like a reminder to make the most of the time we have.
Right. And it all culminates in that really intense verse, the one that says, "Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken." It's such powerful imagery, isn't it? The cord snapping, the bowl shattering.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. It definitely makes you stop and think. But then, right after this part, where everything is so emotional and moving, he just kind of switches gears. It's like he shouts, "Meaningless! Meaningless! Everything is meaningless!" Why does he do that?
It almost sounds like he's letting out a huge sigh of frustration, you know? Like after all that searching, after all those observations, he brings us right back to where we started, right back to Hevel, back to meaninglessness.
So is that it? Is this whole book just one big downer?
Wait, we're not finished yet. There's one more part. Remember the epilogue? It's like a little addendum after all of Qohelet's thoughts. And actually, it gives us a totally different angle on everything we've been talking about.
Oh, yeah, the epilogue. It almost feels like a different person is speaking. Why is that part so important?
Well, think about it. The epilogue actually confirms that everything Qohelet has said is important. It says that he was a wise man, that he imparted knowledge to the people, and that what he wrote was upright and true.
So even though Cullen himself seems to end on this really depressing note, the epilogue is like, hey, hold on. Don't just dismiss everything he said. There's real wisdom here.
Exactly. It's like it's telling us, look, yes, it's true. Life can be hard. And it can definitely feel meaningless sometimes. But that doesn't mean we should give up on finding wisdom. And it doesn't mean we should give up on trying to live a life that honors God.
So they don't have to just say, well, if it's all meaningless anyway, what's the point?
No, not at all. And, this actually brings us to the very last verses of the book, the ones that say, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil."
This is where it all starts to click for me, I think. It's like we've been on this winding road with Colette. He's led us through all these twists and turns, through all the ups and downs of life, and now finally we're arriving at the destination.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's like he's saying, look, this world is full of Hevel. It can feel like nothing really lasts, but there's one thing that will always be true. We'll have to answer for the things we've done. We are accountable to God.
So that's where meaning comes from. It's not about being happy or successful in this life, but about living in a way that recognizes we're responsible to God.
Yes. And that can be a tough thing to realize,
Hmm.
but it can also be really freeing. It's like suddenly, everything we do, even the little things, they all matter. But it also gives us a sense of purpose, a direction for our lives.
So if someone were to say, okay, I get it, Ecclesiastes is super deep, but how does it apply to my daily life? What difference does it make? What would you say?
Well, first, I would probably remind them about that idea we talked about earlier, about probabilistic wisdom. Life is full of surprises. We can make plans, but we never really know what's going to happen.
Right, so don't get too caught up in trying to control everything. Learn to go with the flow a little.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean we should just sit back and do nothing. Ecclesiastes encourages us to be wise, to think carefully about the choices we make, and to learn from our mistakes as much as from our successes.
And to enjoy the journey, right? Remember all those times Kohelet tells us to enjoy life. Work hard, play hard, but always remember to be grateful for life itself.
I like that. That's a great way to sum it up. You know, Kohelet also reminds us that wisdom isn't just about, like, book smarts. It's also about having practical skills, using your talents, and just figuring out how things work in the world.
He gives all those little nuggets of practical advice, like, cast your bread upon the waters. After many days, you will find it again. Or how about this one? If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. They're like ancient life hacks.
Oh, I love those. It's like he's saying, hey, I know life can be tough, but here are a few ways to navigate through it with wisdom.
So to recap, we're supposed to focus on the present, fear God, search for wisdom, and remember that our actions have consequences. But you know, there's one thing I'm still struggling with a bit. How can we enjoy life when there's so much suffering and injustice in the world? Does Ecclesiastes even touch on that?
Yeah, it's hard, right? You know, you read those parts about enjoying life, but then you look around and see so much pain and suffering and just unfairness. It's like, how can we even think about enjoying life when there's so much bad stuff going on? That's such an important question, and it's one that I think a lot of people struggle with, especially when they're reading Ecclesiastes, you know?
Yeah.
It can feel like a real challenge trying to balance those parts where Kohelet tells us to enjoy life with the fact that there's so much suffering and injustice all around us.
Yeah. There's almost a tension there, like he's saying two opposite things. Enjoy life, but also, like, how can you with all the bad stuff?
And, you know, Ecclesiastes doesn't pretend that the bad stuff isn't there. It's very real. Remember, Kohelet talks about oppression, about people crying out because they're being treated unfairly. He even talks about how sometimes it seems like bad people are winning while good people are suffering.
Right. And that's so hard to see. It can make you feel so discouraged and even angry. It can make you wonder, what's the point of anything if there's no guarantee that justice will win in the end?
I think that's where the idea of God's sovereignty comes in. Kohelet keeps coming back to this idea, you know, this idea that we may not understand everything that happens in this life, but we can still trust that God sees everything and that he's working things out in his own way according to his purposes.
So it's not about figuring everything out. It's about trusting, even when it's hard, holding on to that faith.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also important to remember that when Ecclesiastes was written, people didn't have the same understanding of what happens after we die. So for them, this life, with all its ups and downs and its unfairness, was really all there was.
That changes things a bit, doesn't it? Maybe Kohelet's search for meaning was even harder because he didn't have that hope of heaven or a final judgment to hold on to.
That's a really good point. It makes you think about it differently, right? It's like he's wrestling with all of these big questions about life and death without any easy answers. Mm. And he's doing it very honestly, in a way that doesn't try to sugarcoat anything.
And maybe that's why people still connect with Ecclesiastes today. You know, even though our world is so different, we're still searching for that meaning in our lives. We're still trying to figure out where we fit in.
I totally agree. And in a way, that makes those enjoy life moments even more powerful. It's like Kohelet is saying, look, things might be tough. You might not understand everything, but there's still beauty to be found. There's still goodness. Don't miss out on those things.
So it's about choosing to see those moments of joy, those things to be grateful for, even when we're going through hard times.
Yes, and I think it also goes back to that idea of living in the present moment. Don't get so caught up in worrying about the future or dwelling on the past that you forget to appreciate what you have right now.
Because all we really have is now, right? The past is over, and who knows what the future holds. But this moment, right now, this is all we can be sure of.
You said that beautifully. And you know, that actually makes me think about something. What do you think Kohelet would say about our world today, you know, with all the technology and stuff?
Oh, man, I would love to hear his take on all of this. Like, what do you think he would think about social media and the news? It's like we're bombarded with information 24/7.
I know, right? Imagine showing him how people compare themselves to each other online or how much importance people place on having lots of followers. What would he say about that?
He'd probably say it's all just another form of hevel, like chasing after the wind.
I think you're right. He might even point out that all this technology, even though it can be really useful, can also contribute to that feeling of emptiness if we're not careful.
Yeah, it's easy to get swept away by all the distractions, right? We can forget about what's truly important if we're not careful.
And that's why Ecclesiastes is so important for us even today. It's like a reminder to step away from all the noise, to think about what really matters, and to remember that true fulfillment doesn't come from following the latest trends. It comes from living a life that's in tune with our Creator.
And maybe, just maybe, Qohelet's struggles, his search for meaning in a world that often felt meaningless, maybe that can help guide us in our own search for meaning.
I think so. It reminds us that even though life can be messy and confusing, and even though we may never have all the answers, there's still beauty to be found. There's still goodness, and there's still a purpose for each of our lives.
And it's definitely a journey worth taking. So, to everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Ecclesiastes. We hope this has given you some new things to think about.
Yeah, keep wrestling with those big questions, keep searching for the good, and keep diving deep.